Who's happy today? Come on. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength, man. It's what we depend on. It's like our guns, you know? That's the joy of the Lord. He gives us the power, the strength to keep pushing through, man. Luke 24:36. As they were talking about these things, Jesus himself stood among them and he said to them, "Peace to you." But they were startled and frightened and thought that they saw a spirit. And he said to them, "Why are you troubled? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? See my hands and my feet, that this is I myself. Touch me and see. For your spirit does not have flesh and bones, as you see that I have." Who here is anxious? Yo, if you're anxious, peace to you. Peace be to you today. Jesus has come to give you peace in life, man. So I want to tell you that right now. That just opened up in my Bible. That has nothing to do with my sermon today. But praise God. Turn to your neighbor and say, "God loves you." I heard Bill Johnson say, he's like, "Yo, you guys know God is in a good mood today?" I want to ask you guys know God is in a good mood today? Yo, that ought to make you smile. That God himself is in a good mood today. Amen? Oh, so good. So good. All right. Who can tell me, just shout it out, what have we been going through these past couple weeks? Kingdom, come on. And what about the kingdom? What was last week's topic about? Who can shout it out real quick? What did we talk about last week? Priority, right? Priority of what? So if you guys, first time here, welcome to New Generation Christian Ministry Youth Service. Whoever's first time. I don't think it's anybody's first time, but no? All right, cool. So we've been talking about the kingdom of God. There's a gospel, right? What is the definition of gospel? Somebody scream it out. Louder, Johnny.
Good
news. Man, Johnny's probably one of those guys in class that would always get the answer and just like always be called on because his hand will be the very first one up. Weren't you, Johnny, huh? Pipe down. Let somebody else answer, man. Come on. I'm just kidding. I'm just picking on you, man. No, but our topic is the gospel of the kingdom, the good news of the kingdom. Somebody say kingdom. The good news of the kingdom. There is a good news, okay? There is a blagaya vist about the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And what about this kingdom? Who could tell me what's the best part about the kingdom, the best news about the kingdom? Jesus, right? What's another thing about the kingdom? Huh? Heard somebody say it. But what's the good news about the kingdom? Where is it? Is it coming? Are we waiting for it? Or is it now? Kingdom now, right? So the good news about the kingdom is the king is Jesus. And when is the kingdom?
Now.
Now. Let me try that again. The good news about the kingdom is?
Now.
Yeah, it's now. The kingdom is now. Guys, I actually never knew this before. Because when I was growing up, what was taught in my church was chill, sit back, kind of close yourself off because Jesus is going to come soon and take you home. And I was like, man, that's awesome. I don't got to worry about getting married or date girls. I don't have to worry about going to college, get a degree, nothing like that because Jesus is coming back soon. I mean, they've been preaching this since the 90s. So I know for a fact that in 2012, Jesus got to come, you know. And it's such a relief when you find out that, hey, he's here. His kingdom is already here. There's no escape plan to take you away. You got a mission to fulfill on this earth. Amen. There is a purpose and a plan for your life to accomplish on this earth, man. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
What was that? I said shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Guys, you guys are sleeping on me today.
Hallelujah.
Yeah, there we go. Liliadna right here. Glory. Glory, man. That's awesome. I love it. I love it, man. It's always so humbling to come up here and preach the word of God. Like, it's amazing, guys. Gosh, God is so good. Goodness gracious. Goodness gracious. And so last week's we talked about priority, right? That when you prioritize something in your life, it's got to be important. Somebody say important. Important, right? Importante. When something is important in your life, you prioritize it. You put your energy towards it. You give it attention. You want it to prosper, right? So when the Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God, what are you doing with the kingdom? Prioritizing it. You're putting it first, right? So in your life, if you're seeking for the kingdom of God, you're putting it at the very top top place in your life. It's like I was listening to Vlad Savchuk today talking. Really random. It was on my Facebook. All of a sudden, I see Vlad Savchuk. And I'm like, dang, I know that guy. And so he's out preaching about it. He's like, yo, man, blessing is going to follow your life. And your business is going to grow. Oh, this is crazy. And his words, okay? He's like, I don't know why this happens, but there might be something that happens when you start seeking his kingdom first and all else follows, right? There's something that happens when we first start seeking the kingdom of God, and we'll actually understand that here and later on today. Man, glory, amen? Yeah, so let's begin. So we've been talking about the domain of the kingdom, of the king, right? The kingdom, domain of the king is his territory. Somebody say territory. Say it louder. Say it prouder. Come on. Territory. That's good. Territory. So we've been talking about the territory of the kingdom, about where the kingdom reigns, where the king reigns. Today we're going to talk about the actual king. All right? Who is this king and what about him is so special? We're going to, if you have your Bibles, open up to Psalm number 2. Say amen when you're there. Awesome. Awesome. So good. So good. Yo, we're about to go over the king, and the king is God. And there might be some things that might startle you, because this God he's wild. Yo, he's like, my God's good, but he's not safe. My wife is telling me about Narnia, how the little girl asks, "Are we gonna go meet Aslan? Hey, Roy, is he safe? Is that what it is?" Yeah, he's wild. He's wild. I thought it went a little different. I thought it was in my mind at least. It goes like this, right? The girl is like, "Oh, this lion, is he safe?" And then Mr. Tubman looks at her and says, "Safe? Nah, but he's good. He's a good lion, right?" Same with God, man. He ain't safe, but he's a good God. Amen? We're going to talk about him today. Verse number 1 of Psalm 2. Why do the nations rage and the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, "Let us burst our bonds apart and cast away their cords from us." Let me try a different version as well, just so we can have both translations. Why are the nations so angry, and why do they waste their time with futile plans? The kings of the earth prepare for battle, and the rulers plot against the Lord and against his anointed one. "Let us break their chains," they cry, "and free ourselves from slavery to God." Yo, check this out. This like portrays the most basic, basic image of what it is in the humanity right now, okay? You got these people that are just hating God. Nations are hating God. Humanity itself hates God because God is offensive. Somebody say offensive. You might not like this, but God offends you. He will offend your sin. He will point out the very things that you're ashamed of and say, "That's sin. You got to stop watching pornography. You got to stop lusting after other people. You got to stop gossiping about people. That will offend you in your self-righteousness. That would offend you in your pride, man. Somebody say amen. Who's ever been offended by God before? I've been offended by God a lot of times, man. It's crazy. If you guys haven't, wait for it. It's going to happen. Hold on. So we see there's always this like desire to rebel against God Almighty by everybody. If you think about it right now, man, the leaders of the culture, they love to prop up things like abortion, things that used to be a shameful act, right? And now we have these movements in our culture saying, celebrate your abortion. Saying, hey, it's okay, woman, after 5 years, you might not feel as bad about killing your baby. And we're saying like, hey, guys, it's not a bad thing to get an abortion. Or just a couple weeks ago, we had an actress getting an award for acting and saying, hey, if it wasn't for my abortion, I wouldn't have been here. It's just disgusting. Somebody say disgusting. It's vile. It's horrible, man. And the nations and the people, the sinfulness of man, they're crying out, let us be free. Let us live in our own state of freedom where we don't have to follow the law of God. Let us break free. They want to go, man. They want to go and just be as sinful as they can and not be judged by the law of God. You guys understand that part? Somebody say amen if you get it. Let us burst their bonds upon us and cast away the cords from us. Oh, I love the NLT version. It says, let us break their chains and free ourselves from slavery to God. You want to hear God's response? It's crazy. Before we get to that, hold on, this is another thing that they do. They make right wrong. They turn holiness into boredom. Where a person living a holy life, they're like, dude, that guy looks boring. I don't know about that. I don't want to do that. It's my fun. It's all about me. The leaders of the culture, this will blow your mind. Because we're raised in this, right? We're raised in a lifestyle that it's all about us. It's about what we want. It's about what we care about, man. And dude, like my daughter, right? My little girl. Love her to death. But you can see her nature. Where she wants a toy. She doesn't understand yet that other people have different desires, right? So my wife was telling me about this. What was it called again? Okay, but it's all right. So she wants a toy, right? And she thinks everybody wants what she wants. She doesn't understand that somebody... So when she's taking a toy away, she thinks, hey, that kid wants what I want. That kid wants to give me this toy. So I'm going to try to take it away, you know? And so she doesn't get that yet, that it's not about her. It kind of is because we treat her like that. But it's not about her, all right? And same thing with us. We're raised in this from like a very young age that, hey, man, it's all about me and what I want to do and about having fun. And that's why the culture will just start making right things wrong. They will say, hey, there is no standard of truth. Truth is what you make of it. Nobody's ever 100% sure about anything in life. They want to be freed from God's law because the law offends him. And another thing is here, it says that the nations plot. They are plotting to take over God. They are plotting against the Lord and against his anointed. Verse 4. This is God's response, man. This is blow you away, all right? I love this part. I don't know why, but I love the fact that God has all the power, has all the control. You guys get that? Somebody say power. Power. Say it like you mean it. Power. God has all the power, man. The power. Ooh, man. Verse 4. He, God, who sits in the heavens, laughs. Yo, God himself sits in the heaven and laughs. This is not kind of laugh where you know, laugh when you get tickled or hear Johnny say a funny joke. It's not the same kind of laugh. I mean, I know nobody laughs on that.
Okay.
Ouch. No offense, Johnny. But seriously, bro. It's not the same kind of laughter. This is God laughing as a way of mocking them. Like, are you kidding me? You puny humans. You puny humans. You're going to come against me? You and what army, huh? What are you doing, man? God is scoffing at them. The NLT says, but the one who rules in heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then in anger, he rebukes them, terrifying them with his fierce fury. Woo! God is an angry God. An angry God. Some of you guys might be thinking, no, he's full of love. Hold on, guys. Hold on. We'll get there. We'll get there. Hold on. We got to get past the angry part first and the wrathful part. It says, the Lord holds them in derision. Then he will speak to them with wrath and terrify them with his fury, saying, as for me, I have set my king on Zion, my holy hill. The king does whatever he wants. Somebody say amen if you guys know that. The king does not need your permission to do something. He does not need anything from us, man. This king is doing whatever he wants, whenever he wants. You guys ever heard of a guy? Very funny name. Hilarious name. Hard to pronounce at times if you try reading it. But his name is Nebuchadnezzar. Somebody say Nebuchadnezzar. Say it three times real fast. Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar. Ooh, sounds like a rap song, dude. Nebuchadnezzar. Real quick, open up to Daniel chapter 4. King Nebuchadnezzar, 4 verse 28. You'll see what happens real quick. All this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar at the end of 12 months. He was walking on the roof of his royal palace of Babylon. And the king answered and said, is this not a great Babylon, which I have built all my mighty power as a royal residence for all the glory of my majesty? See, this is the king right here, man. He's walking around puffed chest and everything. Daniel chapter 4, verse 28. He's saying, yo, check out how cool Babylon is. Look at these buildings. Look at my Lamborghinis. Look at my Ferraris. Look at my kicks, my Gucci's, my necklaces, whatever they have. You know, nowadays we always hear rappers talking about all that stuff, right? And Gucci, 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 all that. I don't know the songs. I don't listen to that. But you always hear rappers talking about how rich they are. Nobody cares. But they just talk about how rich they are. And people buy their songs to listen about how rich they are. It's foolishness. It's craziness, man. Crazy right here. Ready? Let's see what happens to Nebuchadnezzar. While the words were still in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. O King Nebuchadnezzar, to you it is spoken. Check this out. God starts speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. The kingdom has departed from you, and you will be driven from among men, and your dwelling should be in the beasts of the field, and you shall be made to eat grass like an ox, and 7 periods of time shall pass over you until you know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom he wills. Immediately the word was fulfilled against Nebuchadnezzar. He was driven from among the men, ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of the heaven until his hair grew as long as eagle's feathers. It's longer than yours, bro. And his nails were bird's claws, man. That's disgusting, huh? That's crazy right there. This is completely mad. Completely insane. The reason why I went to this story is it shows how God did not ask Nebuchadnezzar, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, I'm gonna make you a little crazy, if that's okay with you. I'm going to turn you mad for a few years, if that's all right with you. I mean, nah. God is like, I'm going to humble you. Like nobody's ever been humbled before. I'm going to take away your fame, your money, your glory, your women, your sanity, your food, your personal hygiene. I'm going to take everything you think you have a hold on, and I'm going to take that away from you to show you my power and show you my glory. Somebody say glory. That's God's. That's God's glory, man. That's the Father's glory. Check this out. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored him who lives forever. For his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, and he does according to his will amongst the hosts of the heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say to him, What have you done? At the same time, my reason returned to me, and for the glory of my kingdom, my majesty and splendor returned to me. My counselors and lords saw me out, and I was established to my kingdom, and until more greatness was added to me, and still more greatness was added to me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and exalt and honor the King of heaven, for all his works were right and his ways are just, and those who walk in pride, he is able to humble. Yo, ain't that crazy? Ain't that awesome? It might be scary, huh? It might be like, dude, like, maybe that's why the Bible says to fear the Lord, right? Because this Lord, he's full of wrath. He's full of anger. That's one side of the coin. But if you go on the other side of the coin, he's full of love. As a matter of fact, his anger and wrath that he pours out is his love in action against sin. And if you guys got that real quick, let me try it again. His anger and wrath that he's pouring out is actually love in action against the sin, the very things that were going against him and his will. You know what the good news about the kingdom is? That wrath, that anger, that just like, boom, like lightning bolt to your face, like blow you up in pieces, like that wrath he wants to put upon sinners, all that wrath was poured out on his own son. Yo, all the anger for all the broken laws of God, all of that anger, dude, it was poured out on Jesus. And it was poured out for those that will believe in him, that the believing ones will be saved, right? For he sent his son so the ones that will believe in him may be saved, yo. And guys, check this out. We don't know when we're going to die. I just read today that Kobe Bryant died. Crazy stuff. You guys ever heard of Kobe Bryant? Basketball player? He died today. And he didn't think he's going to die today. I don't think he did. I don't think he got up this morning and said, oh, I'm probably going to die today. Nobody's ever ready to die. And the good news about saints or believers is that we don't die. We just transfer. We just transplant. You know, I think Raynard Bonnke. Bonnke Raynard. What's his name? Yeah, he said, I heard this other preacher talk about it. He said that eternity runs parallel to us, right? So that when we're walking in life, we just hop over and now we're in eternity. When the end of our life is, we just hop over and just transfer over. We don't die. But if you don't know Jesus today, if you don't know his love today, if you haven't trusted him for your salvation today, there's hell. You have to pay for your sins yourself. And that's going to take eternity. But the good news about the kingdom, man, the good news about this kingdom is that the Father loves you. And he took out all the wrath and he poured it on his son, his own son. He says, I have an escape plan for them. I have an escape plan for them. As a matter of fact, I want them to join my kingdom, man. I have an escape plan for them out of their sinful ways, out of their desire to rebel against God. I want them to come to me. The king wants more people to experience his grace rather than his wrath. That's what he says. It says he wants all men to be saved. The call is universal. He wants all men to be saved. The love of God is shown in the fact that this furious king pours his wrath on his own son to make a way for you to be in his kingdom. Who here is in the kingdom of God? Like three people? Heck yeah. Who here is in the kingdom of God? Come on, somebody, yo. Check this out, guys. Somebody say kingdom. Kingdom. Somebody say domain. Domain. Somebody say king. King. Now say king's domain. Who here today is in the king's domain? Come on, everybody should raise their hands. If you're not, yo, I want you guys to be in the king's domain. It's an awesome place to be, guys. But check this out. It's like this kind of. It's like, I'm going to set some chairs up here so you guys can maybe wake up a little bit. If you guys can't see, stand up. Yeah, there we go. It also keeps you from sleeping. So it's good. It's good stuff. But let's say here, right here, right? If I'm here, let's say I'm not saved yet, okay? And then, you know, I repent, I bow the knee, I repent and turn to Christ. Christ draws me by his irresistible grace, and I'm here now, and I'm now, boom, I'm in the kingdom. And it's like, whoa, I'm in this kingdom. This craziness, amazing. Whoa, right? And we stay here. Because we're just like, oh, man, this kingdom is so awesome. That was my life before, and we'll tell people, hey, guys, that was my life. This kingdom is awesome. Guys, that was my, and we just stay here. We're like, guys, come on into this kingdom. People like walk, and you're like, isn't this great? You're like, yeah, and then they keep going. You're like, where are you going? Well, whatever. I don't know about you, man. You're getting way too spiritual for me, too self-righteous. I'm going to stay here in this entryway, in the entryway to the kingdom. And it's craziness. Because a lot of times that's what happens. We start preaching the gospel of salvation to people that are already saved. We come out here and we're like, guys, be saved. Guys, say it. You know what I mean? Salvation, salvation. And we preach it to people that are already saved. And so we have a whole group out here that are just standing by the entry gates. And we're like, isn't this great? Isn't this amazing? Well, we never started, you know, checking out the kingdom. Like, what's going on here? Oh, no way. God, you want to bless me in this way? Oh, this is craziness. Oh, it's amazing. We're about to get into it. This is going to be good and blow somebody's mind, I hope. Another thing about the kingdom is the king is the focus of the kingdom. You guys get that? Somebody say focus. Focus. Not a Russian focus, but the English focus. Focus. God is the focus of his kingdom. Somebody shout out a kingdom that you guys know that's here on earth today. Shout it out. United Kingdom, right? We have the United Kingdom. What's another kingdom? I don't think there's any other. I don't know. Yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, I guess I guess so. India, or probably, yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know. But, okay, guys, the thing is about the kingdom, we won't be able to understand the actual kingdom and what the king wants until we get what happens in an actual kingdom, okay? Because in a kingdom, like, we wake up, for example, us, we wake up, get out of bed, we have no care in the world what President Donald Trump wants us to do. We don't care because he doesn't affect us. We get up, we do what we need to do, go to our schools, do whatever. In a kingdom, when you get out of bed, you better do what the king wants you to do, because he's the main person in the kingdom. In a kingdom, when your job is what the king wants you to do, his wish is your command. In the kingdom, if you're a soldier for the kingdom, you give your life for this king. This is it. Your mind is wrapped around the kingdom. Johnny, quit texting me. Gosh. Pay attention. I'm sorry, brother. I'm just playing, man. Don't worry about me, bro. You can text all you want. It's going to be on your conscience. He is the focus of the kingdom. It's so good to live in America, though. Somebody say, yeah. Heck yeah. So good to live in the kingdom of God, but it's even better. It's amazing to be in the United States of America, but it's even better to be in the kingdom of God. That's what I wanted to say. But in a kingdom, everything is linked to the king. Everything. I'm talking about everything. Your job? Your job better be as aligned with what the king wants you to do. Your business better be given the amount of tithing to the king, because the king is giving you protection. Right? Your mother, your father, your children, everybody's living to serve this king. And it's like so crazy to think that we in this democratic republic of America, that we can chill here. We don't care about what Donald Trump wants. We have our own identity. We have our own lives to live, right? But in a kingdom, you're living only what the king wants you to do. You're doing what only the king wants you to do. You're living the life the king wants you to live. That's what there was outlaws like Robin Hood and all these people that would go out and rob people and give money to the poor. Why? Because the king was actually taking away all that money. And when you're in a kingdom, if you have a bad king, you can't vote him out. You can either wait till he dies or kill him. And then wait and then hope the next guy is going to be better than him. Right? So in a kingdom, there is only my way or the highway with the king. You can either obey me or get hung. That's it. So in the kingdom, the king is the main focus. And it's crazy because we have a really good king, amen? We have a really good king. But when you start thinking about that, dude, like it gets intense because now you're thinking about, hey, does the king want me to go to this job? Or does the king want me to say this to my mom today? Or does the king want me to do this and that? Like everything is based on what the king wants. Like when you get out of bed, it's like, God, what do you want me to do today? The king, what do you want me to do today? Our identity is found in the king. The Bible says we are citizens of this kingdom. You know, not only were we rebellious before, like when we're out here, we were rebellious. But now when we're in his kingdom, God, the king takes us in and is like, hey, now you're a citizen of my kingdom. You get the benefits of my kingdom. You get to live here. I will take care of you. I'll clothe you. I'll be with you. I will never leave nor forsake you. Whenever two or three of you are gathered, I'll be there with you. The same promise that I gave to Abraham now applies to you. And like all this awesomeness that, hey, now you have a mediator before Christ because you are a citizen in my kingdom. It's amazing. But not only did he make us a citizen of the king, we are now ambassadors of the kingdom. Ambassador is somebody who is sent back out. An ambassador is a person that goes and represents the king in different countries, right? Like we actually have U.S. ambassadors, United States of America ambassadors. You know, we had Nikki Haley. I think like every country actually has one. But we have embassies where it's kind of like America bought out a piece of land and said, hey, this is now a piece of America. So now we can put our embassy there. That's like considered sovereign territory. And so we can have our ambassadors there, people that represent and fight, I guess, for our desires that America wants and whatnot. So you are an ambassador. Your mission as a citizen of heaven, as an ambassador of the king, is to go and preach his message of reconciliation. That's what the Bible teaches. It's to go now and preach the same gospel that saved you to the other people around you. Is to bring the culture of the kingdom to the place outside of the king, to the place where they don't have that culture yet. To influence the culture around you with the kingdom, all right? So let me hear you say kingdom again. Man, say it louder, guys. Yeah, come on. Lila's getting it. Okay, guys, check this out. This is where it gets awesome. Because now not only are you ambassadors and you're preaching the good news of God and trying to get people into the kingdom? We're like, yeah, dude, God is going to change and shift something in your life. And it might be for the good. It might just completely feel like it's terrible. But God is doing and working something. You have now have a hope. And it's amazing. We are now children of this very same king. You guys remember the king that was super wrathful and angry at sinners? Not only did he send his son, pour out his wrath on his son instead, but now he has taken us in as citizens, sent us out as ambassadors, and now he has adopted us, all in one move, by the way. All this is all in one move, but sometimes it'll get revealed to you in steps. He has adopted us as children, as his own children. You guys know any children of royalty? What are the names of the one that just got married recently? Prince Harry. You guys ever heard of Prince Harry? Right? Who's the other guy? Anyways, Prince Harry, right? So United Kingdom has a queen, and she has kids. And you got Prince Harry, you got the other princes, you got the Duke of this, the Duchess of that, and all the different stuff. And in the United Kingdom, they're a big, kind of a big deal, right? People follow them like crazy. They got cameras on them. You're a child of royalty, you get treated differently. Yo, when you are a child of royalty, the spotlight is on your life. When you're a child of royalty, you are expected to carry yourself in a certain way, in a certain manner. You are expected to say certain words. You are expected to do certain things because you are a child of royalty. You are like it's crazy to think that these people are famous just for being born. Prince Harry is famous just because he was born. Princess Diana, she was famous just because she was born into royalty. Guys, you and I are adopted into royalty. That means people are looking at your life. They're looking at you and they're being critical. They're like, yo, how does this person handle anger? How does this person handle tribulations, trials, loss, grieving? How does this person handle jealousy? How does this person handle this or that? The people look at you different because you are a child of royalty. You know, it's crazy because that same verse says when we've been adopted, it's the ending of that verse says, provided we suffer with him. So children of royalty often follow the path of their king. And so our king suffered. We got to look forward to that. Got to look forward to the suffering. Whatever it may be. Whether it be criticism or whatever else. But the coolest part, I think the most amazing part about it all, dude, it's amazing, is that we have a foretaste of things to come. A down payment of what's going to happen next, what's coming next. That's the person of the Holy Spirit. That in this kingdom, yo, some people, the people that are just chilling by this gate right here and just arguing about how they got in. You guys ever met those people that just argue how they got saved? Like, no, it was by grace. No, I had to say yes. No, it was because I did this good work. Now I'm in here. No, it's because of this or that. And it's like, guys, God has given you this himself. The person of the Holy Spirit is now with you. A person you can just communicate, walk with, and talk with. And not only that, but this same person, like, if you get to know him here, man, you just walk and you just, like, oh, I want to know you more. Holy Spirit, I want to know you more, man. He's going to start giving you gifts. Like, crazy cool gifts. Like gifts to help other people. Like, gifts in order to help love other people. Like for example, prophecy, right? He's going to give you a gift of prophecy to be able to prophesy to people and to uplift them and to get them on a better standing with God and to just to encourage them in their lives. And God will give you the, like, crazy cool gifts. Like, today I learned about a gift, the prophetic band of musical people. You guys ever heard of that? It's in Samuel, man. Samuel, I think, chapter 10. When Samuel tells Saul, he's like, yo, on your path you will meet a band, like a legit band of prophets. A band of prophets. Like, your instrument playing can be prophetic. It can shift something in the spiritual realm. I was like, dang, that's crazy. That's cool, man. I just learned about this today on Instagram. Lord, thank you for Instagram, huh? Depends on who you follow, I guess. We have a foretaste of future glory. Man, the Holy Spirit is not the gifts. You guys know that? The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the gift giver. The gifts are just cool. The cool stuff that happens, you know? It's like, it's amazing. Speaking tongues, glory. You can give great advice, godly advice, glory. I can't do that. if you can like preach and proclaim the God's word, that's also a gift. If you can be even super organized, that's a gift. That's straight up a gift, man. If you're healing people, that's a gift. It's all a gift. And the Holy Spirit is not the gifts, he's the gift giver. So it's really cool. I'm going to be wrapping this up because I don't like it when people preach long. Even though I've been preaching for that's a long time, dude. Dang. I was like, Lord, I'm not going to preach long this time. I even like didn't prepare much. Lord, that's crazy. Anyways, it is hard. Wow. Yeah, that'd be great. Thanks, Julia. Julia. Guys, the Holy Spirit, he's here now. If you guys haven't experienced the presence of God yet, like today or Vapshim, like the presence of God is in this place. And if you guys want the presence of God, like you guys could come up. I don't care. But the presence of God is in this place. That king is in this place. You know how I know? Because his word tells me so. His word tells me so, yo. His word tells me so. And the word says that I can boldly approach the throne of grace. You know, the only person that can wake up the king in the middle of the night by tugging on his beard is his son or his daughter. You know, the king has all the power. But as soon as this little toddler runs to the room and just like grabs his beard, wakes him up like, give me milk. The king can't kill his toddler. The king loves his sons and daughters. We have the heart of God. That king, he's the most important person in the kingdom. He gives us our identity. He gives us our purpose and meaning in life. Everybody who lived in a previous kingdom, their purpose was given to them by their king. Our purpose is given to us by our king. Our identity is given to us by our king. Our mission is given to us by our king. This new covenant that we're in right now, the covenant of grace, man, his wrath was satisfied on the cross completely, totally. And in this grace, we have his presence. And by his grace, we have the access to God himself. So let's just stand up real quick.